Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, joins us on the Adam Gold Show. All right, let's get right to this, sir. We don't have to talk about the Panthers because they played Thursday. So let's talk about whatever that was in Buffalo, which, like, I don't know if I haven't seen a better game this year in the NFL. It was goofy. It was dumb. It was, did that just happen? Where do you want to? How does Buffalo blow a 17-point late third quarter lead to Minnesota?
I mean, the game is so insane that John Breach, my colleague, and you know Breach him on Bengals sometimes. He wrote a story, the five craziest moments from the Buffalo Minnesota game, and it was like totally justifiable to write the story because of all the insanity that happened. Like, I think number five was, everyone kind of forgot about it. It was like the 81-yard touchdown run by Dalvin Cook, which was breathtaking.
Yeah.
Was the longest run of his career, I believe, the longest run of the season for a Vikings player, and like just completely forgettable because of all the other stuff that happened in that game.
Yeah, that was the touchdown that got them back, that gave them a chance, that got it to 10 and made it 27-17. And then, first of all, Josh Allen looked pretty good for somebody who was hour to hour, right?
Yeah.
Well, so do we know, like, did they shoot him up full of Toradol before the game? I mean, does he have a ligament problem in his elbow? Because we actually had Vic Carucci on, who used to write for NFL.com, and then he was writing for the Buffalo News for a while. And yeah, we both agreed that this game is meaningless next to whatever happens in January. So I guess he was okay. I guess we should just assume he's all right.
Yeah, I mean, I'll third that. It is a meaningless game compared to whatever, you know, gets done in the postseason. I think the question then becomes, like, you know, could the Bills have sat him? Would rest help? Is this a matter of he's just hurt and that's how it's going to be and he just has to play through it and they're hoping he can play as long as he can? Like, I think that's sort of the questions, you know, I would want to ask of the Buffalo coaching staff, because you know he didn't look as bad as maybe he didn't look horrendous for stretches for sure, but he also looked, I mean, the last 10 quarters, you know, two quarters against Green Bay, the last game to this game, you know, really like not Josh Allen's best football, and
right,
it's clear that he's being affected by the injury. So I'd like to know if it's a situation where he could rest, they could have rested him, and if that would help, if that would benefit, you know, like you know what I mean, like
yeah,
the sitting and not throwing 45 times and not running around and not making tackles on interceptions,
jeez,
like which reminded me of a little bit of the Cam Newton shoulder thing from, you know, that Thursday night game against Pittsburgh a few years ago when he, you know, when he really ended his Carolina career because
yep,
he tried to make a tackle on a pick six. But, like, would rest have helped Josh Allen? And if so, why aren't they resting him? And if not, then, you know, if rest would have helped, then like, what is it? Like, is this just a let's see how long he can play with this injury before we just call the dogs off? I mean, that would change everything you think about Buffalo as well.
It changes everything about Buffalo. Just the idea that Josh Allen was going to miss some time. I think Josh Allen is as much his offense as Lamar Jackson is Baltimore's. More so than Patrick Mahomes is Kansas City's offense. Because it's still, you know, all those, I hate to use the term because I find it so funny, all those off-platform things that Mahomes can do that they actually do practice, so they're more not scripted, but they're more things that they're used to doing than people give credit because it does look so impromptu. Josh Allen is essentially it's half of Buffalo's running game, and he's obviously their entire passing game. And I think Lamar Jackson is in you know, to a very large extent, very similar. Although I think Baltimore has a better pure run game than Buffalo does. I think too.
Like you could say that even if you wanted to like drill it down a little bit more, like Josh Allen, maybe Lamar's responsible for a greater percentage of the yardage for Baltimore. But I mean, as far as touchdowns go and points go, Josh Allen, the last time I saw it, I think it was something like 23 to 25 touchdowns where either Josh Allen either threw or ran, because he is a red zone. He's a red zone rushing offense.
Yes. You know? I mean, like, he's Cam Newton.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he is one of the greatest red zone threats we've ever seen. And when they get down close to the goal line, they run Josh Allen. And so I think, you know, yeah, I mean, it's, the Bills are touched without Josh. I mean, they still have a very good defense. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I didn't see a very good defense at the end. Their pass defense, they did get to Cousins late, very late. They had a couple of sacks on the final drive that ended up forcing the field goal. But for the most part, Cousins had enough time to get the ball out. So they weren't really sending extra rushers. Cousins had enough time. And there were still, like, I don't even understand how you leave Jefferson and Thielen. You have to make somebody else beat you. And Justin Jefferson made every big catch that there was to make. Have you ever seen a better catch than that?
Adam Golden Studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Financial advice industry can be overwhelming for a lot of people. Is there a way to be sure you're getting the best service when you don't know?
Yeah, Adam, it's not just if you gave the money to a planning team and they did good the first year. I mean, anyone can do good for 1 year, but it's a track record and it's a long-term accounts that are very important. We call that a financial fill-up strategy, Adam, and that gives you lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll put together for you, the listener, your very own total retirement plan if you call right now.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
I mean, the helmet catch. I mean, it's easily the best catch of the year. Duh. It is up there. I mean, I asked the same question on the podcast last night, and like, I didn't know the answer. Like, how? Like, where does that rank in terms of all time catches? And it is hard with it being a regular season game to give it. You know, But it's like Odell Beckham's catch against the Cowboys in that primetime game. You know, the
one handed catch.
Right, except you add in a defender who's got his hands on the ball.
Two hands versus one hand. Yeah. I don't even understand that.
The physics do not make any sense. I mean, it was such a great catch. This is how I always think it. How big is this NFL story? It's like, well, it's like, is it big enough that CNN covers it? You know, it's like, that's how you know, like, the big, like, it's like, this catch, like, how great was this catch? Like, did my dad text me about it? Yes. you get a text from, like, you know, we actually had it Y Guys during that game, so I was watching it on my phone, and it was like, I had people walking past me, like, hey, like, you see the Jefferson thing? You know, like it was. But it resonated with everyone. It was very clear how huge it was, like how big a catch it was, and just how insanely athletic and impossible to pull off it was. And so I think, yeah, I don't know where it ranks, but it's really high up there.
I mean, I've never seen a better catch. I'm remembering that the helmet catch, David Tyree, the Odell Beckham Jr., almost behind him, one-handed catch. This was the only one that was severely under duress, where there's really no, I think he has Spidey strength. That's all I can think about Justin Jefferson, is that he was bitten by the same spider that bit Peter Parker on that field trip. That's all I could come up with. Did yesterday change your opinion of the Vikings?
No. They're down 7-0 in one score games this year. That is right. Really unsustainable.
Yeah.
People in the chat last night were talking about, I mentioned this in the YouTube chat. We got a lot, youtube.com/pick6, the video show you're referencing. I think it was a beast mode hat that Wilson was wearing, but I could be wrong. people were like, maybe it's sustainable because they're clutch. I'm like, no, that's not how that works. Like, to go 7-0 in one score games, you have to be extremely lucky. Now, granted, they went 6-8 last year, which is insane to think that they were involved in 14 or 17 one score games. I think they're a really good team. Yeah, I think they have a really high ceiling on offense because of Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook, and even Kirk Cousins, who probably gets unfairly treated and has an unfair reputation. But at the same time, like if they're playing like a primetime playoff game, do I trust Kirk Cousins to deliver? I don't think so. And then defensively, you know, they have some issues where you can score on them. If you have a quality offense. So nothing's changed about my opinion of them. I think they're still easily going to win that division, probably by Thanksgiving. Yeah. And they're going to be a problem in the playoffs. But, you know, I don't know. It's just like hard to trust them just because the every game is like comes down to the wire. Except this year versus last year, they actually execute and win those games.
If Dalvin Cook is healthy, I think it changes the Kirk Cousins formula if Dalvin Cook is healthy, because they can lean on him in those games. And in the playoffs, there's only a couple of primetime games. Maybe Minnesota will not get a primetime game in the playoffs. All right. Mike McCarthy is being roasted for going for it on 4th-and-3 rather than kick a long field goal in overtime. Aren't there other reasons to roast Mike McCarthy? Because I don't have a problem with that. He's always been accused of not being, you know, aggressive, being too conservative. I think that was an acceptable decision. But are there other things to roast Mike McCarthy for, watching Dallas blow a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a problem. Like, I thought, you know, he was really aggressive on fourth downs, and Matt LaFleur was not. It was interesting to see because, you know, Aaron Rodgers started, you know, screaming at LaFleur after they decided to punt one. It had to be frustrating for Rodgers to watch his old coach, who never went for it on fourth down when he's with Green Bay, come back to Green Bay as the Cowboys coach and be super aggressive in these fourth down spots, including that overtime situation. I mean, the thing is, like, if you kick that field goal in Green Bay, you know, and miss, which is not unusual.
No.
You know, in freaking November at Lambeau Field, it's cold. There's wind. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You're basically handing Mason Crosby and Aaron Rodgers the game. So I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was aggressive. I was surprised by it, but I don't have a problem with going for it. You're trying to win the game, you know. I think blowing that lead is really, really bad. But I don't think it happened because of the fourth quarter. The fourth down decision-making.
Maybe, against a team that has been generous against the run, you don't throw it twice as much as you run it. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Tony Pollard was only awesome.
Right. And the other guy, I know that he didn't have Zeke, but the other guy wasn't bad either.
Yeah. I mean, like, Tony Pollard's better than Zeke. And you know, it's because people are like, oh, he wears down too quick. It's like, well, he ran for 6.5 yards per carry, you know, like after his 30th catch of the game. So that's probably not true at all, or after his 30th snap or whatever it was. They needed to lean on the ground game, pound the ball, and you know, force Aaron Rodgers into situations where you know you're down multiple scores with less time than what he had left.
It's just, look, good for Green Bay. I mean, I don't think Green Bay is going to make the playoffs, but because I think they dug themselves way too big a hole, 4-6. They'd have to come pretty close. I think they could probably lose
like
one more game.
One to close out or something like that, yeah. if they want to win, which is, you know, R-E-L-A-X, man. I mean, it's that sort of, you know, backs up against the wall situation. I don't think it would be that crazy for them to make the playoffs, but it is definitely, I mean, a pretty big, it's a long shot for sure, but the way that the NFC is set up, you know, you have to have some, you know, one of these teams, you have to have some of these NFC East teams start losing, for crying out loud. You know, we always had all four NFC East and all four AFC East teams in the playoffs as of this morning, which would have been mind-bending.
All right, is Tua, maybe not the favorite, but the second choice right now in the MVP race?
He's definitely, I mean, he's up there. I think it's,
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Probably Jalen Hurts and Mahomes ahead of Tua, but then Tua, you know, nipping at the heels. He was last week after the Dolphins game, on Sunday night, he was 20-1, woke up on Monday morning, he was 15-1. I'm guessing right now he's probably somewhere around 10 to 12 to 1, maybe even lower at that season. I haven't looked this morning. But the other guy, too, that I think I would at least consider is Tyreek Hill. You know, if you were making a bet on it, because he, you know, he was 100-1 last week, and I know receiver is probably not going to win MVP, but right. if he has some monster, you know, a couple monster games to close out the season, they win the division. It probably goes to Tua, but the way, just like you can make the case for Tyreek Hill, and remember, Tua missed several games, right, or missed at least one. I mean, he's missed time. So, like, if Tyreek Hill ends up setting records, he'll probably win Offensive Player of the Year instead. But, you know, just worth considering the idea that, you know, Tyreek Hill, but people say, oh, well, you know, the Dolphins don't do this without adding Tyreek Hill. Maybe he is that valuable.
Will Brinson is with us here on a Monday, as always, as we talk NFL. This is week 10, 11, sure. I'm not even sure. All right, so in the same game, I have a question about the two head coaches. The first is, good for Jeff Saturday. I know you were surprised, because I remember last Monday you going, you're never going to believe who they named as the interim coach. As it turns out, and I'm not saying this is going to work out or not, I am a believer in leadership is way more important than X's and O's for a head coach in any sport. How do you inspire the people below you, to me, is the most important thing. Could Saturday work out?
I agree with you there. Leadership is enormous for the head coach in these spots, and particularly in that first game, right? Because you're stepping into this situation. This team has fired their head coach. They've benched their quarterback. Probably unnecessarily, too, by the way. You're 3-3-1. Like, let's settle down, Jim Irsay. Saturday comes in and hypes everybody up and gives these speeches, and everybody comes and plays well for him. And Irsay obviously gave him carte blanche to do whatever he wants, because he was allowed to unbench Matt Ryan, who'd been benched for the entire season, bring him back out and start him, even though, you know, Irsay, pretty adamantly said he was going to be done for the year and play Sam Ellinger. And you're going up against the Raiders, who are just a bad football team with no defense, and a coach who is absolutely under heavy scrutiny right now, by the ownership group in Las Vegas. So, yeah, I think the Saturday thing could work out in the sense that I do still agree with the take. It was Bill Cowher on Sunday morning, and then Joe Thomas earlier in the week, where it's like it is patently unfair that Jeff Saturday just gets to skip to the front of the line because Jim Irsay has, you know, like thinks he's awesome and wants to put him in the Ring of Honor. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, as Cowher pointed out, you know, he turned down multiple opportunities to be on that coaching staff. But when he was talking about the opportunity to be the head coach, he's like, actually, you know what? Screw my family, and I have tons of time. Like, let's go. You know, it is a little kind of gross, you know, if you're someone who, you know, is in that, you know, in, you know, If I were an assistant coach on the Colts, I'd be like, really? Like, all right, that's cool. I'm glad I showed up for the entire season.
Well, see, that bothers me coming from a former coach. That is circling the wagons and caping up for your profession, which I understand. But ultimately, it has to be what is best for the franchise. I don't know if it's going to work out or not. You know, my bigger issue with that hire isn't that Jeff Saturday jumped to the front of the line. My bigger issue is that it's only somebody that looks like Jeff Saturday that would be allowed to jump to the front of the line.
Ryan Wilson said earlier this week, he's like, do you think Jerome Saturday is jumping to the front of the line?
Did he say that? Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's hysterical.
I had never thought. I was like, no. All right.
I don't think the head coaching experience is that big of a deal if you are smart enough to let your assistants coach and game plan. Like, Jeff knows football. Does anybody not know that Jeff knows football? Is that the problem?
And the bottom line is, you know, you talk about letting your assistants coach. It's like the best coaches in football and really in any sport are guys who you want to know your X's and O's, but you're right. Saturday, of course, Jeff Saturday knows football. He's been to the playoffs. He's been 14 seasons in the NFL. Well, I think won a Super Bowl, right? And 12 years going to the playoffs. And he pointed that out. He's like, look, I know the game, man. This applies to business too, but like the best CEOs, the best coaches put people in place who can do their job well and then delegate as much as possible. You don't try and do everything. If you're a head coach who is insistent on doing everything, on having your hand involved in every little aspect of every process, you're just going to have too much going on, and you're going to lose a lot in terms of efficiency and how you handle games and that stuff. Like, you just can't do everything. No one can.
Look, I just don't think it's that horrible a decision. And if Jeff Saturday can inspire them, and it does appear that Saturday hit all the right notes, not just with the win, but leading up to the win, and maybe it led up to the win. I don't know. The other part of that, and we don't have time to get into it, is that, I don't know, I'm just eating popcorn watching Josh McDaniels' first year. So it's just...
But it definitely helps that he got to play the Raiders his first game, too. Let's see how he does against a real football team.
It doesn't hurt. Will Brinson, man, I'll talk to you later. I appreciate your time.
All right, sounds good, man.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.